I believe that your miracle is in the house today. I just believe that without a shadow of a doubt. So I just want you just to receive it today. There's a scripture in the book of Isaiah. Simply says this. There's actually three, so we will read all three of them. It says, if you do not stand firm in your faith. Now, I took this as talking to me specifically, and I pray you do the same. But this is Isaiah the prophet is speaking to King Ahaz. And he says, if you don't stand firm in your faith, you will not stand at all. And I believe that message is to us today. God is calling us not just to go through the motions, but stand what? Stand firm in your faith. Next verse, 10th verse. It says this, again, the Lord spoke to Ahaz, next verse, and he says, ask the Lord your God for a sign, whether in the deepest or depths or the highest heights. He's like saying, test me here right now. I'm putting it out there. I see this a few times. He tells us to, with tithes and offerings, he says, try me and see if I won't open up heaven and pour out blessings you don't have room to receive. He tells the king, he says, I want you to ask me, and I want to show myself strong. I believe God wants to show himself strong in our lives as well. Today, I believe that. Next verse. And then instead of Ahaz saying, I'm going to take you up on God, what you asked me to do, it says, but transition here. But Ahaz said, I will not ask. I will not put the Lord to the test. Now, how many of you all know when God says, I want you to test me, that it's time to say, okay, God, let me ask big. It's not time to cower down. It's not time to shrink back. It's not time to get nervous. It's not. If God says, ask me what you want, because how many of you know he's got everything? There's nothing that he can't do. Look what the next verse says. He says, then Isaiah said, hear now, you house of David. He's talking about this family of David. He said, now, let me give you this backdrop. They was in the midst of a situation. They had folks coming against them. They had people that wanted to partner to bring them down. I'm not sure if you've ever had a situation like that, but people that really don't like each other, but they like you even less. So they got together to say, hey, we're going to come together to bring down this house of David. And they needed God's input. They needed his involvement. And God was saying, I'm here to help. And all you got to do is just, you're wearing my patience right now is what he's saying. He says, this is what the writer says. Is it not enough for you to try the patience of humans? In other words, Isaiah said, you're trying my patience right now. And then he says, will you try the patience of God also? Do you think sometimes we try God's patience? All we got to do is ask him. Instead of us asking him, you know, we just sit there and say, like we don't even know him. Look what this next verse says, 14th verse, the final one we're going to pray. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Therefore, since you're not going to ask and you're asking all, acting all sheepish or whatever, he says, I am going to give you a sign. What will the sign be? The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son. Now, a virgin who doesn't know man, no sperm, no seed. Hallelujah. Keep it G, hallelujah. No seed has she received, but she's going to bring forth a son. And they will call him Emmanuel. Emmanuel interpreted is God with us. Let us pray. Father, thank you so much for your love. Thank you for your kindness. Thank you for being here in our presence. We ask only that you have your way. Someone came with the desire, with the need. Someone needs you, God. So we ask you, God, just pour yourself into us today. May we recognize that you're here and for us. So God, you get the glory. We pray for the ones that are watching via television and streaming. So God, do something in their living room, in their bedroom, wherever they might be. God, we're praying for them. Someone may be incarcerated. We pray for them right now. All over Illinois and over the United States. God, bless them. May their focus be on you today. May they trust you for a miracle. And Father, we decree it in Jesus' name. And we say amen. Give God a big praise in the house. Hallelujah. I give him a big praise. He's God. We love you, Lord. We adore you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. There's a song that some of my seniors used to sing. When I was a kid, they would sing it. They would say, it took a miracle to put the stars in place. It took a miracle to hang the moon in space. But when he saved my soul, cleansed and made me whole, it took a miracle of love and grace. When I think of all the miracles in being able to raise the dead, to opening the blinded eyes, to reclaiming, you know, be able to hear again, and even to be able to walk, all those things are good, but the greatest miracle of all is when God sent Jesus to redeem man. Because we'll live forever. The things on this earth, you know, they're temporal, but they're things that we have that are eternal. And we need to embrace those things because that's the greatest miracle, to take man that's been in so many issues and having so many problems, because there's an inherent wrong with man. And the inherent wrong with man is that his daddy is Adam initially, the natural father being Adam, and sin was imputed to all mankind. But that's why Jesus came. So let me start off with this first point, which is the same point from last week. Is this, and it's very simple. I want you to embrace it, is that we need a Savior. Say it with me one more time. And if we personalize it, we say, I need a Savior. The truth be known is because, you know, thank God for him sending him then, and he is the Savior, and he is the Savior now, because I needed him then, I need him now, and I'll need him on tomorrow. So he is the Savior. We need a Savior, not needed, we need a Savior. Are you with me today? No one of the writers says in Matthew 1:21, and she shall bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus or Yeshua, for he shall save his people from their sins. You know, God knew just what we needed. And the thing about it is that oftentimes, even tomorrow or the next day, whenever you open presents, people will say, well, I knew you needed that. And you needed some, I usually get underwear and socks. You know, that's what a lot of men get, or tools so you can fix stuff around the house. You know, it is something men, sometimes, I got to move. Oh, I've got to look. That means move on. I already know. But the thing is that people say, hey, this is what, I knew you needed this, so therefore I would get this. And someone came to my house and dropped something off the other day and said, I knew you needed this, so you'll use this over your car and all that stuff. But of all the things that we need, there's one thing that we need above everything else that sometimes is not talked about. We talk about, well, I need this for my car, I need this for my house, I need this for my kitchen, I need my new oven, I need an air fryer, I need an Instant Pot, whatever I need. And but the thing about it is, there's something that you need above that. Can I get a witness in this house? Woo! And sometimes we don't talk about that. These other things will be broke in the next year or two. And if it's real cheap, if you got it from a cheap place, it'll be broke sooner than that. Somebody say amen. So therefore, these things come and they go, but there's certain things that will last forever, and it's important for us to embrace those things. My question is that, you know, the gift that we need to give is the gift of Jesus. He's the gift of love. He's the gift that can give us what we need. I mean, really need, not surface need. He said he shall save his people from their sins. I love that next passage. It's Matthew 1:22, because it goes right into the next passage of the very prophecy. So I'm not sure if they can pull it up, but if they do, you can just clap and praise God for them. But the thing about it is, it talks about the need, our need for God, our need for Jesus, and because man had need. And I often look at our world and recognize the challenges that our world faces. You don't have to go far. You can go to your neighborhood and you can see that your neighborhood needs God. You can go to the prison and you can see that the prison needs God. You can go to the White House. So y'all finally woke up. You can go to the State House. You can go to your house. I'm just I'll put it like them. You go to my house. So I ain't trying to throw no shade or nothing like that. I'm just saying, but we all need God. Can I get a witness? You know, there's a huge need, and you can try to fix it with a whole lot of other things, but it just will not work. It will not work, and God wants us to come to him because, and so, folks, this today is prophecy. If they can get that scripture is Matthew 1:22-23. That's the one that we want to look at just for a minute, because God sends us what we need. In the next verse, in the 22nd verse, it says, so all this was done that it might be fulfilled, meaning Old Testament being fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, the prophet was Isaiah. We just read it earlier in the 23rd verse. What does it say? Prophecy. Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name what? Which translated is, this wasn't an accident. This wasn't something that just happened. No, God had the plan from the very beginning of time, because he was, I love this passage, the scripture says that he was the Lamb of God that came to take away the sins of the world. He gave his life willingly that we might have life. His life changed our life. And when I think about that, yeah, we need a Savior. But let me take you to the next point is this, is Jesus came to rescue us. Since we had a need, he came to rescue us. That scripture says in the book of Luke 19 and 10, it says this, for the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which was lost. He was talking about us. I was lost. I was messed up. I had gone astray. And God sent someone to save me. Now, I wanted to bring some type of illustration, if you will. I'm not one that's fond of elevators. I do not like, I'd rather take the steps, you know. I just don't like closed spots. I just don't. I like to be free. I'd like to be free. Well, one particular day, we were in the elevator. Who's in the elevator, praise God? And the elevator stopped. And I'm in the elevator, man, you can't go anywhere, right? You can't, I'm like, you know, usually you're in a situation where you can, you know, work your way out of it. But some situations you can't do anything. And man, I didn't have a screwdriver, no hammer, nothing like that. And phone wasn't working. And man, it's like, this is not a good place to be. Am I, anybody else, y'all don't like elevators, don't like closed spots? That's just a few of you all. Yeah, so that's that, but that's I'm one of those. But at any rate, while I was in there, I recognized that I needed help. And I looked on the button that you push the button and you call, says emergency call, hit this little thing. This didn't have the phone, all you could do is talk. And man, I was quick to say, hey, y'all come get me out of here. You know, I need some help. Somebody come rescue me. I look at the scenario and I look at life. Sometimes life is so got you in a spot to where you need to break free, but you can't get out yourself. You need some help. You need someone to come alongside. You don't have a screwdriver. Your phone's not working, but you need somebody to come alongside. When they sent the rescuer to come down and open that door, you should have saw me almost hug the man I didn't even know. Thank you for opening that door. How much more are we to embrace Jesus, because he's our rescuer. He came to get us out of bondage, out of captivity. We ought to give him praise. We ought to give him glory, because he is the one that rescued us. Somebody give him praise. Give him honor. Some of us need to recognize it, man. You cannot do it by yourself. You can't do it by yourself. It's important that you recognize that you need a rescuer. I've got 5 grandchildren, and 3 of them are here today, all beautiful young ladies. What a joy. I'm just in a moment. Man, what a blessing. I prayed for girls. I didn't know it would be so amazing. Didn't know they would boss me around at an early age. Had no idea. But I don't even mind. What a blessing. Here's my point. In watching them, not only the girls, but also my grandson as well, at you know, 2-ish, 3-ish, 4-ish, 5-ish, they want to do it themselves. There's something about them saying, well, you know, I just want to do it myself. I can do it. I can do it. To show that they are big kids, that they can handle it. And I think that many of us are the same way. And sometimes, you know, we say, tell God, you know, we can do it. And I watch them go over something, try to open it, try to wrestle with it, trying to do it themselves, trying to figure something out. And then finally, when they get to the point, they see they can't do it, they will come to you and say, hey, do this, and sometimes be like, I can't do it, do this, and sometimes be frustrated. And God says, that's just like you, son. You'll try to fix it yourself. You'll try to work it out yourself. You'll try to struggle with it. I told you I could. So I got this, God. How many of you all ever told God you got it? And then after you get through wrestling with it, after you get through messing with it, after you get through messing it up, you get to go, now, God, will you fix this? Because I can't do it. I think God wants us to cast our cares upon him because he cares for us. And even in the midst of your, even in the midst of your pride, even in the midst of your, I can do it myself, he's still standing there with his arms outstretched, says, when you get done with it, give it to me and I'll fix it. God wants to fix some of y'all messes today. Give God praise in the house. Hallelujah. He's God. So here's what I would say. Here's what I would say today, and this is the message that, God has given me to give to you, that he's asking us, he's inviting us. And I wrote it like this. God invites us to pray and ask for his help. Say it with me. God to said, why is that important during this time? Because you know that Jesus came to help us. And sometimes I think we forget that. He came because we had issues. Mankind had issues and still have issues. Can I get a witness? Wow, it's getting quiet and I can fix this myself. Religion is the same thing. It says that I can do, it's man's limited and inability to try to fix things on their own strength. I can live this thing by myself. I can make it happen by myself. I'm going to please God. You can't please God by yourself. It's only the blood of Jesus that was shed on Calvary's cross that gives us a right and access to eternal life. Are you with me today? We need help. Do me a favor, witness to neighbors and neighbor, you need help. Oh, not. I hope you didn't say it with attitude. Man, I should have worded that a little differently. Yeah. Well, I'll speak for myself. I need help. And God invites us to pray and ask for his help. Because how many of you know that he's a very present help in a time of need? How many of you all know that he actually is a bridge over troubled water? That he is a lawyer in the courtroom? That he is a doctor? Yeah, now I'm not talking about what I heard. I really know it for myself. But what you've got to do, you've got to say, God, you know, I need your help. God wants to save you. But you've got to ask for his help. King Ahaz was in a need for needing help. And instead of him asking help, God says, you know, all you got to do, king, is ask me. All you got to do is, you think the king would be humble himself enough to ask? He said, nah, I don't want to trouble you. I don't even want to test you. God says, no, I'm here. And he said, you can ask as big as you want, as high as you want, as deep as you want. How many of you all know that's a major promise that God gives his people? I think that there's one thing the people of God need to do is begin to ask big. Some people around the room are saying, well, I don't know if that'll be okay. All right, King Ahaz. No, ask big. Are y'all still with me? I'm saying you need to ask me, because here's what happens. The Bible says in the book of Matthew 7:7, he says this, he says, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and who? You will knock and the. So it's important that we open our mouths and ask God, especially if we have a need. And now I'm just telling you what, folks, I'm believing God for a miracle. I asked God for a miracle today. I said, God, my prayer is not that I get a new suit, new outfit, new car, none of that stuff. My prayer is that somebody gets saved today. Whether I see it or whether on television, I pray somebody receives you today, because that's the greatest miracle I could ever see. A heart be changed, and I give God glory and I give God praise. Won't you bless me? Because I believe that miracle is going to happen. I mean, that's blessing real big. He's God. That's my prayer. Here's what happens is that oftentimes, you know, we don't receive because we don't ask. That's what James says, the 4th chapter. And, you know, they don't have to even go there. But the thing about it is that, you know, you don't have to even put that one on the screen. But here's my thing is that we don't ask and we don't receive. And God is saying, I sent you help. And all you've got to do is receive my help. Open your mouth, ask me, and receive my help. Some people are struggling this season. I mean, worrying about stuff ain't got no business worrying about. about, I can't buy them all they want for Christmas. So what if the roast doesn't turn out right? Eat fried chicken. I don't know. What? I didn't get a chance to go. Some of y'all going to be rushing out of here trying to go get a gift for this one. Man, don't. You know, the Bible says peace on earth. Goodwill towards men. Joy to the world. I'm not sweating all this other stuff that God has not ordained in the first place. If the Christmas tree don't light up, if the packages aren't wrapped, if Rudolph don't come, that don't make no difference. It's all about Jesus. Are you in the house today? Somebody give him a real good praise. Woo, help us today, God. So we've got to look to him because he is the one that we can go to in a time of trouble, in a time of need. He is the one that's there for us. And I just want to let you know that he will be there for us, and he wants us to just simply open our mouths and ask. And here's the thing. My requests have changed. When I was a child, I used to ask for childish things. I used to be childish and very selfish. Anybody else? Anybody still selfish? Hallelujah. Not, hallelujah. So as I got older, God began to show me that it's not about me being selfish, but let me ask the things that please God. Hallelujah. Let me ask that God, your will be done. Let me ask like Jesus, not my will, God, but your will be done. May in this last hour, may we see lives changed. May we see drug addictions broken. May we see marriages restored. May we see people saved, saying, what must I do to be saved? May we raise up and feed the hungry and clothe those that are naked and visit those that are in prison. May we rise up and be the hands and feet of Jesus on the earth. Somebody give God some praise. I'm preaching better than you, amen, but that's okay. So my prayer is not a prayer of selfishness, but I want my motives to be right. And when the individuals that prayed then, just as Adam, the Adamic nature, they were praying in lustful things, what they saw, the pride of life, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh. But man, James said here, he says that sometimes we pray amiss because our motives are wrong. God wants us to get our hearts right, and then our prayer will be right. Are you with me today? How many of you all want to see people saved at this last day? Because Jesus came to save them. I mean, you really do. That means we got to open our mouths and let them know about Jesus and what he came to do. Hallelujah. So here's my next point, that God invites us to pray and ask for his help. But the next point is simply this. You know, with God, nothing is impossible. Because some say, well, I want to ask big, you know, but I don't want to trouble God. You can't trouble God with nothing that's too. What's too big for God? Now unto him, help me out, that's able to do exceedingly above. You can or think according to the power that works on this. There's something working on the inside of you. And think of something big. Just for a minute. Think of something really big. Really big. God's able to do more than that. Think of something even bigger than you just were thinking. Now, how many of you know God is able to do more than that? Think of something, gigantuous. Y'all know what I was trying to say. Big. Whatever you can think of, God is able to do that and more. Some of us need to increase our ask. I'm talking about a miracle. I'm talking about God wanting to do something. I mean, in his plan, in his power, in his purpose, with our motives being right, what good thing would God withhold from us? I'm believing God for my family to be saved, all of them. I'm believing God to take my neighborhood and that the very spirit of God be so rich in the neighborhood. There's something about this neighborhood. I'm believing that the power of God be so anointed in this house, in the Abundant Faith House, that people will come in the door and walk in their healing and say, Father, thank you that I felt something when I came in the door. I was down when I came in, but I feel healed right now. And God is able to do that. Somebody say amen in the house. Isaiah's message to Ahaz, King Ahaz, was this. Ask him to do a big thing. He wants to show you a sign, a miraculous sign. It makes no difference how. Test him. Show. He wants to show you how big and how awesome he is. Thank you, Jesus. I can hear some wheels turning right now. Before you had been around, people said, well, you don't want to ask God for much. You don't go, you know, you want to bother God. No, God, how can you buy? You can't tap his resources out. There's a little girl, I haven't seen her lately, but I told her she did something really good. So I said, hey, you know, I'll take you, you know, out. We go shopping, whatever, whatever. And I said, get you whatever you want. She looked at me, she says, what's your budget? I said, little girl, I got you. Can I let you know that when you look at God, when he says, I got you, I mean, whatever you want to do, I'll take you there. And you look at him and says, there is no limitation. He has no budget. He's God and he's your daddy. Tap into him. Tap into what he's got. Somebody give him real good praise. Thank you, Lord. With God, help me out. That means I can walk in my healing. All things. My debt can be canceled. All things. Some of y'all say, now you're talking. I know y'all feeling something now. I got to share this with you, though, as I try to bring this thing to a close. God was dealing with me about this very passage about, you know, debt cancellation. And Carlos came and he says, hey, Dad, I got to share with you what God has been dealing with me. I believe it's to you as well. I'm thinking, like, how you know this is to me? God told you, right? And he says, God was dealing with me about this whole supernatural debt cancellation thing. I said, really? So God says canceling some debt in my life. He says, but also God flipped the script. He says that anybody that owes me anything, I got to cancel their debt. Some of y'all say, that sounds good. And I began to think about that. I said, yeah, that's pretty good because, you know, if we release other people, we'll receive grace. Are you with me today? Man, I started calling people. I said, hey, guess what, man? Your debt is canceled. They said, what you mean? Yeah, your debt is canceled. You might as well cancel. They ain't going to pay you anyway. And they said, might as well cancel. Bless God. Said, God, I cancel their debt, and I thank you, God, that you're going to send debt cancellation my way. And I give you praise. I give you glory, God. There's none like you, Lord. Help shout it with me. With God,
all things
are possible. If you believe it, give him a praise in the house. Hallelujah. All things. Woo! Ha, 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 ha. I close on this note. Thank you, God. I sense his presence in the house today. Thank you, God. Woo! All things, nothing is impossible. The angel told Mary, says, how is this going to happen? He said, man, the Holy Spirit is going to come upon you, Mary, and overshadow you. He says, don't forget, with God, nothing is impossible, Mary. If we're going to be called the Abundant Faith Church, we need to walk around believing that with God, all things are possible. Don't scare me. Don't shake me. I don't care what it looks like, what people are saying. With God, help me out. If you believe it, give him a praise in this house. Whew. Got to leave you on this one. Says it simply this, is that through every situation, God is with us. So his name shall be called Emmanuel. Interpreted is God is with us. In other words, God from heaven comes down in the form of a seed stops in the womb of Mary, is birthed out of holy seed, is called Yeshua. God lives a perfect life. God heals the sick, raises the dead, walks on the water, calls forth stuff to be, and dies on the cross, and then raises up on the third day, and then goes back and says, one day I'm coming back to get you again. I'm letting you know that he's with us. See, come on, stand on your feet. I got to let you go, but somebody give him a praise in this place. We love you, God. We give you glory, God.